Blog Talk Radio.
They were not done away with. Not in the New Testament,
they were not done away with. And so they were given to Israel at first to give to the rest of the world. And then when Messiah came and they came up, you know, came up with the New Testament, the gospel, then they have misunderstood many of the precepts that are in the gospel. And so they have interpreted the gospels in a way that they don't have to keep the laws. They're not up under the laws. And it's only by grace, you know, that they are saved. And we are saved by grace. But we must still obey those laws. And we must still govern ourselves by those laws, the laws of the Most High, and not the laws of men. And so if true reparation and true healing is going to come about, it has to be done through the laws of the Most High, using his laws and his statutes, judgments, and ordinances as the standard. And so we are endeavoring to define what that looks like according to the scriptures. And if these things were to take place, what each side is responsible for doing. And so we're going to pick this up, part two. We're going to pick up where we left off at in Leviticus chapter 6. But first, we are going to do our statement of faith and pray in, and then we will jump into this. As I said, I want to finish this series on, which is the 10th of March this year. And so I want to finish this and, you know, then put it officially on the website as our official position where we stand. If they want true healing, they want true reparations, then these are things that must happen. According to the scriptures, according to what the Most High has said. Not to what man has said, because man will always do things to appear to be good, appear to be doing a good, and at the same time, you'll be putting money in putting money in your pocket one way and taking it out your pocket another way. It's always this mentality to get over, to appear to be good, but then not really be doing good. And so with that being said, let's go ahead and do our statement of faith, and we will pray in and jump into this. We'll do the necessary. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim, I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham according to Galatians chapter 3 verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Mashiach who strengthens me according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give our Elohim a hand clap of praise on today. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, Elohim. We just give you glory, honor, and praise on today, Father. We lift you up and we magnify your name. We extol thee, O Yah Elohim. We extol thee and we bow down to you and to you alone, Father. And another will we not obey or give our admiration to, but to you and to you alone. For you are our Elohim. And another one we will not worship. So hallelujah to you, Father, and all glory belongs to you. All praise and honor and majesty are yours and yours alone. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Yahweh. Thank you, Father. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, now and forever. Amen and amen. Yeah. Let us just read one scripture for today. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments. commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For Elohim shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. May the Most High bless you for the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name. Amen and amen. And before I forget, let me welcome all those in Pal Talk and Blog Talk, on the internet in general, whether you're in North America or South America, the African continent, the Middle East, the Far East, the European theater, the communist bloc countries, wherever you're listening to us at, we greet you in the only name whereby men must be saved, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, or Jesus the Christ, in the English. All right, the sounding of the shofar.
your goodness. I remember, remember your love. I remember, remember your faithfulness. I remember, remember your grace. Stepped into my space and turned around my ugly situation. I was lost and far away, but then you came my way. How can I forget how you have saved me? But sometimes life can be so busy. That we take our eyes away from all you've done. But this boy that you have lifted out of darkness into light, oh, who never sees the testify of you. Oh, I remember, remember your goodness.
I know you'll forget to
when I came to pray.
Baba, I know you'll forget to
how you made a way.
So he doesn't care who you are personally. Now, he made some promises to Israel that he's still going to keep. As he says, his promises are without repentance. And that he would once again wake his people up and call them to the job that he had originally called them for. So if the world wants to truly give true reparations for the wickedness and the evilness that it has done to Israel, the chosen people of the Most High, if they truly want to pay reparations, then they got to have true repentance. That means to truly face what they have done, not sweep it under the carpet, not say we don't want our children to know. And that's the only way there can be true healing between the nations. That's all, and that must be done via Messiah. Because he said he's doing this work. He's making one new man out of both, Jew and Gentile. So from that position, if we are in the body, if we are part of that one new man, then we must reconcile. And we must come to peace and to terms with one another. Let's go back to Leviticus chapter 6. Leviticus chapter 6. And we'll get verses 2 through 5. And this is talking about restoration. Because this has to be supported. And it has to be done for true healing to take place, for true reparation to take place. And the Most High gave this to Moses, and it hasn't changed. Got to go back into his law and do it the way that he said to do it. And Yah spake unto Moses, saying, verse 2, if a soul sins and commits a trespass against Yah, breaks his law, and lie unto his neighbor, lie to his neighbor. Now, how did they commit a trespass against Yah? Yah said, don't lie to your neighbor. Yah said, don't lie, period. Okay, so if they lie unto his neighbor in that which was delivered him to keep, or in fellowship, or in a thing taken away by violence, or has deceived his neighbor, or have found that which was lost, and lieth concerning it, and swears falsely in any of all these that a man doeth, sinneth therein. Then it shall be because he hath sinned and is guilty that he shall restore that which he took violently away, or the thing which he has deceitfully gotten, or that which he has delivered him to keep, or lost thing which he has found, or all that about which he has sworn falsely. He shall even restore it in the principal, in the original debt, the principal of it, and shall add a fifth part. A fifth part is 20%. Divide 100 into 5, you get 20%. A fifth part more thereto, and give it unto him whom it pertaineth in the day of his trespass offering. And so this is how he is to restore and make whole the person that he lied to get something from him, that he took it from violently, that he oppressed. However he did it that was unrighteous, unlawful, he needs to restore it to that person. And this goes for those that they took into slavery and took into other parts of the world and then tried to make them chattel slaves, just a beast of burden, and to gain from their labor, to gain from what they took from their land. This is what the Most High said. Store the original that they took plus a fifth part. And that would have to be equal to what it is today. So in the California study, they were saying, and I failed to go look it up again, but I believe it was like $9 trillion. That they said in lost wages alone, that America alone, or California alone, owed to the African Americans that were slaves there. $9 trillion. And you add a fifth part to that to make it whole. So this is what they say that they owe. And I believe that that would suffice. Yet and still, this is what the Most High says. This is his law concerning this. So they took these things by violence. They took it by oppression. They things that they found that somebody here did, they took credit for. If their slave did something, they took the credit for it. When they, in actuality, should not have ever been their slave. Things that they swore falsely about. They just straight up lied. All those things have to be returned to those people, their descendants. And a fifth part added to it to make them whole, to give true reparations in accordance to what the Most High said. Now, if we, Hebrew Israelites, are following the Most High, and we believe in the book and we believe in him, then we have to go to Acts chapter 4 to see what we have to do. The ones that oppressed us and took things by force and forced us into chattel slavery, the scriptures tell them what they have to do. They have to make us whole. And they have to add a fifth part to it. But for those who are being repaired, and we are part of the body of Messiah, we can't remain individualistic. Because that's not what the Most High wants. So let's go to Acts chapter 4. Let's get verses 32 through 35. Acts chapter 4. Verses 32 through 35. And the word of the Most High reads, and the multitude of them, the multitude would be those that are believers in Messiah, those that are in his body. If we were to receive these reparations, whatever it is, we have to come together as one. And the multitude of them that believe were of one heart and one soul. We have to get on the same page. And we have to get on the same page as far as what Messiah has said, how he wants his kingdom. We cannot say that we are the chosen people and that we are the people of the book and don't get this right. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. So even those Gentiles who say that they are part of the body, they would bring their wealth and whatever they possess, and along with what we have been made whole, and we become one in one heart, in one spirit, one mind, to establish the kingdom of the Most High on the earth. And with that kind of power and wealth, we would be a bona fide nation, able to have our own economy, able to have our own armies, able to have our own defense, our own banks, our own industries, the whole nine yards. And we would all be working for the good of each other. If they were to pay reparations to us and we stayed in the same mindset we are, then everybody's looking for their little piece of it. And still divided we would be. And maybe there would be small groups that band together. But the Most High is looking to establish his kingdom on the earth. And Israel has to get it right. Anybody that calls themselves the people of the Most High Anybody that says they believe in Messiah, these are not the words of Brother Miles. This is word. This is the scripture. We are to be of one mind and one heart. We are to look for each other's welfare, each other's good. There should be no poor among us. There should be no starving among us. There should be no one that wants anything or lacks anything. But we also should not want to be millionaires and billionaires and, you know, having more than what we actually need. And if we did that, then that kind of reparation, we could go for 1,000 years and more and just grow. But we couldn't afford to squander it. Okay. So in the New and Revised American Standard Bible, it says, there was not a needy person among them, for as many as were owners of land or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold and laid it at the apostles' feet. And it was distributed to each as he had need. As you have need. Needs and wants are two different things. And the problem is that a lot of the times we want more than we need. And we've been taught that. Well, you worked hard, go and get it. It's in excess. One person and you own a mansion. You're the only person in the mansion. Or you got a big 3, 4, 5-bedroom home, and you're the only person in it, and don't want to share it with anyone. Having more than what we need, and that's what the Most High actually calls greed. So we must empower ourselves to do that. We must support each other in it and live to that standard, because that is the standard of the scripture. It's not like I had this fantastic idea, hey, let's all get together and share. No, this is the word of the Most High, and this is what he wanted all along. And it's been the corrupting of the gospel and the corrupting of, you know, man wanting to rule other men and have power over other men that has corrupted this. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. I hope these scriptures take on a new meaning. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. Let's remember, a lot of times we read this, we try to make it Israel only. If my people, the Most High's people today are all those who are in Mashiach, who are true believers and have been born of the water and born of the Spirit, and who obey his commandments. There's no way that you've truly been born of the water and born of the Spirit and disobey him. Not possible. You might do some things out of ignorance. But if you're truly born of him, when you know better, then you don't willfully disobey him. So we need the support. If my people, which are called by my name, or who are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. If the Gentile nations truly want to have true reparation and have true healing, and they belong to, because not all Gentiles believe in the Most High Elohim. Not all Gentiles believe in Yeshua HaMashiach or the same God. Okay. I'm talking to those that believe in Messiah, who have been born of the water and born of the Spirit, who keep the commandments of the Most High, who know that their forefathers did wickedness among themselves and did wickedness in relationship to the Hebrew Israelites. and know this, then David must humble themselves, just like all Israel has to humble itself. Everybody in Messiah has to humble themselves and pray and seek his face and turn from our wicked ways. This is what he's calling for. See, we'll take these things and say, oh, he was talking to Israel. No, he's talking to my people, his people. Israel is not the only one that's his people. Because in every nation, they that truly fear him and keep his commandments and do righteousness, they belong to him. He will fill them with his spirit. He will adopt them. And so we got to recognize this and accept that and walk in it. If that is done, then the Most High will heal all the broken hearts, and he'll bind up all the wounds that have been inflicted. Go to Psalm chapter 147. Psalm 147. Let's get verse 3. Psalms 147 and verse 3. The Most High will do his part in this. Psalms 147 and verse 3, in the word of the Most High read, he healeth the broken in heart, and he heals up, and he binds up their wounds. He will do that. He will heal us. He will heal them. He will take away that spirit. He will help them to mend the spirit that, hey, we got to be greater than. He will help us to mend the spirit that, hey, we've been walked on. Because we'll walk in the truth. And our focus will change from ourselves to worshiping and serving him. We'll be able to do the true mission. So we have to learn to pray together for the same things of one mind and one heart. Not to pray that we stay on top, or that we get on top, or that we have revenge, or that they continue to oppress, but that we pray for true healing, for true justice, for true reconciliation, individually and corporately, as a body. How can the feet pray against the hands, or the mouth pray against the brain, or the heart? We will all make up the body of Messiah, and this has to be our premise, has to be the root, the foundation, that we are in him. And if we are truly in him, then these are the things that must happen. As a people, as a whole, as a body. Doesn't matter what the rest of the world is doing. Doesn't matter what the Muslims are doing, or the Hindus are doing, or the Buddhists are doing, or what the non-believers are doing. What matters is how the body of Mashiach, the true body of Mashiach, conducts itself. There is no way that the true body of Mashiach can say, we have done these things and we're not going to abide by the laws of the Most High. Then we are not truly the body of Mashiach. We are saying it with our mouth. With their mouth, they do worship me, but their hearts are far from me. So those ones that say, hey, you know, we can do these because we don't believe that they are people. They are not of Messiah. Because they want to discount the ones that the Most High chose. And we'll tell ourselves we're replacing you, and we'll do the things that he says, or some of it. Now realizing that the Most High is still going to reject them. Because it's based upon a lie. Based upon violence. It's based upon oppression. And the Most High specifically mentions these things. Anybody that does those things transgresses his laws. It don't matter what nation you're in. Still guilty. So if the world applies the parable of the Good Samaritan, then they understand that they would have a heart to do whatever it took, go above and beyond, to make those that have been wounded through racism, through prejudice, through oppression, through violence, those of the Hebrew Israelites that were forced into slavery and brought into another part of the world and treated like the common beast of the field, that they would do the things, whatever was necessary to make them whole. That's the only way that true reparation and true healing can take place. Say they are in the body of Messiah and not be willing to do those things because this is what the Most High requires. And Israel don't know what to ask for because they're not even looking at the laws of Messiah to decide what their payment, their reparation should be. Real simple. It should be in accordance with the Elohim that we serve. He has said what these things should be. And if somebody has offended, has done any of these things, that this is what they need to do to make the person or the people whole, whoever they have done it to. Let's look further at this restoration and healing. Our focus is still going to always be in biblical principle. The biblical principle of restitution. Not what man says, not what the courts say. Because the courts have one standard for their own people and another standard for a different people. And so if we want this to truly happen, then we need to demand the standards of the Most High and apply them in principle. For restitution. And this applies particularly to the historical and ongoing injustices experienced by Hebrew Israelites, so-called Negroes, so-called African Americans. Let's go to Exodus chapter 22. The book of Exodus chapter 22. And let's look at this. Because we need to use his law, not our own, his standards, not our own. His laws and his standards should be our laws and our standards. But we know that that's not the way mankind has gone. So, Exodus chapter 22, starting in verse 1. If a man shall steal an ox or a sheep and kill it and sell it, he shall restore 5 oxen for an oxen and 4 sheep for a sheep. Now the principle here is that he's going to repay fivefold and fourfold for whatever he's taken. If a thief be found breaking up and be smitten, that he die, there shall no blood be shed for him. So if they got killed doing that, then they were doing evil. There's no blood that should be shed for that. If the sun be risen upon him, there shall be blood shed for him, for he should make full restitution. If he have nothing, then he shall be sold for his theft. Now, the Most High says that if they were caught doing what they were doing, They were supposed to be sold for their theft. They're the ones that are supposed to pay. So his statement, his laws concerning this is that if you get caught doing this, then you deserve death. And if you were killed while you were doing this, like it's against the law to take a man as a slave and sell him. They knew that that was a biblical principle. That's why they didn't want to support slavery. And the South, they wanted to. They didn't care about that principle. Lied to themselves and said, hey, these ain't really people we dealing with. Yet and again, turn around and sleep with them. So it's not too far-fetched to think that, oh, they was heat. Why wouldn't they sleep with a Hebrew Israelite who they consider to be less than human, but still go and rape the women and do all kind of things? It's not far-fetched. Verse 4, and if the thief be certainly found in his hand alive, if the theft be certainly found in his hand alive, whether it be an ox or a sheep, he shall restore double. So what they have taken from us, there's no way that they can restore it because it's been used, it's been killed, it's been passed on to other people. So restoration would really be a part of that first part of that sentence. Four or five times what they took. If that's labor alone and they're trying to make restitution, and if it's $9 trillion, four or five times, that is what? $45 to $54 trillion. For the theft of it, for the taking of it. And shall put his beast and shall feed in another man's field, if a man's field or a vineyard, to be eaten. And shall put his beast and shall feed in another man's field of the best of his own field, and of the best of his own vineyard shall he make restitution. In other words, whatever they took by violence, whatever they took by theft, then they're supposed to provide the best that they have as restitution. Oh, we're going to pay you restitution, but we'll pay you with, the worst of what we have. No, because you're to pay with the best of your own. So he's talking about how individuals treat their brothers. But then when we get to a level where it's nation against nation, then these are his laws concerning restitution. Because the debt would be nation to nation. If fire break out and catch in thorns, so that the sack of corn or the standing corn or the field be consumed therewith, he that kindled the fire shall surely make restitution. Pay for what they burnt up. And we know the KKK was good for that, burning crops and burning people's homes and doing all this kind of stuff. But these things were perpetrated on a people. If a man shall deliver unto his neighbor money or stuff to be kept, and it be stolen out of the man's house, if the thief be found, let him pay double. If the thief be not found, they say, oh, we don't know who did that. Then the master of the house shall be brought unto the judges to see whether he have put his hand unto his neighbor's good. Now these judges have to be just judges in speaking the truth. For all manner of trespasses, whether it be for an ox or for an ass or a sheep or for raiment or for any manner of lost thing which another challenged to be his, the cause of both parties shall come before the judges, and whom the judges shall condemn, he shall pay double unto his neighbor. So if we go by that principle, then if we go to the world court and it goes before the judges, and they say, hey, you're guilty of this, and it's been determined, oh, that's $9 trillion as a base, and I'm just using that as a base figure, then double that would be $18 trillion. These are the principles. So either way it goes, the restitution has to be their best. It has to be at least double or four or five times what was taken, what's reasonable. what's actually going to cause those individuals to be made whole. Not just to pay them something to shut them up or to get them to be quiet. He's talking about what's going to make them whole, like the get the merit. We need to look to your healing. We have wronged you. We have left you like the man on the side of the road in the Good Samaritan, left you for dead as a people. And then if we didn't leave you for dead, we didn't do things that were in your best interest. We either stood by and looked, walked on the other side of the road, or we even came over and pretended to help you and kind of in some ways try to help you die. These are the things that have been done, have been perpetrated. Okay, let's go to keep reading. If a man deliver unto his neighbor an ass, an ox, a sheep, or any beast to keep, and it die, be hurt or driven away, no man seeing it, then shall an oath of Yah be between them both, and he that has not put his hand unto his neighbor's goods, the owner of it shall accept thereof, and he shall not make it good. So he says, hey, listen, I didn't have anything to do with it. Then it's supposed to be upon their word that they had nothing to do with it. They're going to take an oath to Yah. So they won't just be, if they're lying, they won't just be lying to you. They'll be lying to the Most High. And if these are people who are truly have a fear of the Most High, then they're not going to do that if they truly have a fear of him. No, I'm not going to do that. If they are crooked and wicked, then, yeah, they are subject to do that. Lie about it. Even make an oath to Yah and lie about it. And if it be stolen from him, he shall make restitution unto the owner thereof. And if it be torn in pieces, then let him bring it for a witness, and he shall not make good that which was torn. In other words, if it was, if it was an act of nature, and a tornado came and, tore up your house, tore up your car, did whatever, then that's an act of nature, and he says, that person won't have to make good on it. It's not their fault. But if it's due to some action of theirs, in order to pay double to the owner, make restitution. And if a man borrow out of his neighbor, and it be hurt or died, the owner thereof being not with it, he shall surely make it good. So if you borrow something from your neighbor, and you don't take care of it, and you left it alone, somebody else came and tore it up, whatever, you're still responsible, because you'll make good on it. But if the owner thereof be with it, he shall not make it good. If it be for hire, a hire thing, it came for its hire. So that owner had already, the owner was with it. It got broken, stolen, or whatever. He says, then it came for its hire. So if you hired it for $100 a day, you pay him $100 for that day, and that's, it doesn't matter if it costs $1,500 or if it costs $3,000, whatever you hired it for that day. So you would charge me $100 a day. So, to rent out your service or your machine, that's all I owe you. Okay. And if a man entice a maid that is not betrothed and lie with her, he shall surely endow her to be his wife. He enticed this young girl, slept with her. Then the Most High says, you shall surely make her your wife. You will endow her to be your wife. We want to take it, I got me some, and I got over. He was foolish. He listened. And no, she's not my wife. And most of the world has this mentality this day. And even the young women and a lot of the old women have that same mentality. That, hey, this is just a physical thing. And we are not committing to each other. But this is not the way of the Most High. Never has been. And if her father utterly refuse to give her unto him, he shall pay money according to the dowry of virgins. Okay. And then she was still to be his wife. Because who's going to, you know, if times were like that, then who's going to want to be, or, you know, be married to her, except for somebody that had already been married? It's not impossible. But the truth of the matter is that it was frowned upon. And so we say, oh, times are different. Not for the Most High, he don't change. His laws don't change. It's the people that change because they want to make it convenient to do what they want to do. And I can't say I wasn't one of them, because I was. Until I was, until I knew better. And so he wants us to go by his law. And I went down too far anyway. I'm only supposed to go through verse 15. So verses 1 through 15 give us the principles, provides us with clear guidance on the importance of restitution. The important thing to those verses is if somebody took something from you, if they got something from you, said they were taking care of it, turn around, because, you know, a lot of people were fooled that way. Thought somebody was on their side, and they only find out that they took what was theirs. And they don't say, you know, hey, that wasn't yours. I don't know what you're talking about. But the principle in that whole chapter is restitution for something that you caused somebody else to lose, whether by theft or negligence or direct harm. The scriptures command that the wrongdoer must make it right. So it's not merely about taking what was, or about returning what was taken. It's about acknowledging the wrongdoing, seeking forgiveness, and we're restoring more than was lost. It's divine principle. And it's supposed to foster healing, accountability, and the restoration of the relationship. Okay, you did what was required by the law. Yeah, you took one sheep from me. You gave me five. I ain't got no hard feelings towards you. I don't, you know, I don't really want to deal with you, but I'm not going to have no hard feelings towards you. You did what the Most High said to do. And then we have to do what he says to do. No, forgive. So as we reflect on the history of our nation, we cannot ignore the truth about slavery, the painful truth about slavery, the painful truth about segregation and systematic racism, the wrongs committed against our people. These aren't just historical events. They are sins that have been caused, that have caused deep generational wounds and losses, affecting countless lives and communities. Believers are called to love, justice, and mercy. How are we to respond? How are they to respond? If these are the principles that are in the scriptures, and the Most High says that they are demanded to make it right, then they must use the principles of the Most High for true restoration, for true reparation, for true healing. Because if they do it that way, then nobody can say, well, you know, I wish they had done this, or I wish they had done that. They would be giving their own personal what they want. So we must use the standard of the Most High. And if those standards are fulfilled, then we can't afford to hold a grudge. And if we stay angry or upset, then we ourselves sin and have transgressed the laws of the Most High. So, you know, the journey for restitution begins with acknowledging the past and present injustices. publicly acknowledging those things. Yeah, we did those things. And we are genuinely sorry for those things. And I say this has to at least be the body of Messiah. You got to recognize the systematic and the structural wrongs that will continue to impact Hebrew Israelites. It's not necessarily to make them feel guilty, but it's to bring them into the knowledge of the truth that they did these things, themselves accountable. That's the only way that they can truly repent. As long as denial, as long as it's, well, you know, I didn't do that, my ancestors did it, therefore I'm not accountable, then they're not going to ever want to pay restoration. They're not going to ever want to pay reparation. They're not going to ever want any true healing. Just continue. I have often thought that the commandments other than love one another, an eye for an eye, the law gives us the minimum requirement and it sets a limit so that if I step on your foot, you don't try to take my life. Whenever my offense is with you, that it is met with an equal response. If I look at you and you feel like I looked at you the wrong way, you look at me the wrong way, but you don't come and take my life for it. You don't sit there and beat me down for it. Because that's not equal. So when we talk about justice and mercy, and we talk about this running a biblical principle, often cited yet widely misunderstood in my opinion, the law of an eye for an eye, found in Exodus chapter 21. Let's go back to Exodus chapter 21. Let's get verses 18 and 19, and then 22 through 25. Exodus chapter 21. See, the law is the minimum standard, and the law sets limits on what you can do. The only ones that it don't set limits on is there's no law against love, mercy. Don't tell you how much of those things to have, that you can have, or that you can do. Exodus chapter 21 and verse 18. And if men strive together, and one smite another with a stone or with his fist, and he die not, but keeps his bed, you put him down. But he didn't die, and he rise again and walks abroad upon his staff, then shall he that smote him be quit, won't be charged. Only he shall pay for the loss of his time, and shall cause him to be thoroughly healed. So his time, his energy, just like the man, the Good Samaritan did, he took care of the man and paid him for his lost time. Well, he didn't pay him for his lost time because he wasn't obligated to that, but he paid for whatever the man needed. And if it was anything more that was needed, he said, I'll take care of it when I get back. It's the same way that we're supposed to do our brother. If we get into an argument, a fight, and one of us hit the other one and we don't die, then whatever time we lost and whatever it takes to make us thoroughly healed, we're accountable for. So if we lose 2 weeks at work, we're responsible for 2 weeks' pay. If we got doctor's bill, we're responsible for those until the person is thoroughly healed. And if a man smite his servant or his maid with a rod and he die under his hand, he shall surely be punished. The punishment for death is death. But they want to say, oh, well, you know, they were less than an animal, so anybody we killed, we were justified in doing it. No. The Most High said that anybody that did that should have died themselves. Notwithstanding, if he continue a day or two, he shall not be punished. His money. Okay, so this is how he was making his living, by this service. If men strive and hurt a woman with child, but her fruit, the child depart from her, and yet no mischief follows, he shall surely be punished, according as the woman's husband will lay upon him. And he shall pay the judges, and he will shall pay as the judges determine. So he's taken a life. It was an accident. No mischief. Then he says that whatever the man decided, and I'm sure he's going to get with the woman and say, hey, what do you think? And for the loss of a life, that is grievous. And a lot of times he's like, hey, there's not, how can you repay that? But if you have to put a monetary value on it, then they're going to say, what's reasonable? And then if you can't determine, then of course, then the judge is going to get involved and whatever the judge is determined. But if any mischief follows, it was, if this was done and there was some mischief behind it, then thou shalt give life for life. So the baby in the womb is a life. They want to say, you know, it's not a life yet. The Most High says it's a life. And if there's mischief and somebody took that life, then it was supposed to be a life for a life. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, a hand for a hand, foot for foot. Burning for burning, wound for wound, strike for strike. And this was supposed to ensure fairness and prevent excessive retribution. They would want to come and string somebody up for looking at someone. We're going to hang you because we felt like, oh, you looked at a white woman. Or if a white woman accused a black man of touching her or raping her, then this will cause him his life. And if it was a lie, then they knew, they found out it was a lie, then there was no retribution taken on the woman for telling that lie. There was no retribution taken on the men who took the action, when there should have been. Now, what's done in the past can't be undone. But for those descendants, there should be a restitution. You killed my father. You killed my great uncle. You did whatever. You killed my mother. And restitution made for that. And then there has to be some, I think the problem is that right now, too many of us have forgiven and no restitution has been made. And then we forgive, but then we don't really forgive because we don't trust. And how can you trust when that's been done, and nothing that even comes close to paying for the injustice has been done. No apology, no restitution. When the scriptures say that when somebody wrongs somebody, then they have to make restitution. And if it, you know, at the given time, if they were being fair, if they were being righteous, then if they killed a woman, killed a baby inside her womb, they were doing it out of, you know, viciousness, maliciously, then they were supposed to be condemned of murder and a life for a life. So this is by the scriptures. What about historical debt? Debt. Because when you have somebody work for nothing and you gain from their labor, you owe them. And so they have to acknowledge centuries of oppression, slavery, segregation, systematic racism that we endure and stand convicted by the weight of Exodus 21. If we were to apply the law of an eye for an eye to the historical and ongoing wrongs against our people, the debt owed by white America would be insurmountable. And that's one of the things that they know. We can't afford that. What we took and what we gained, is a surmountable amount of money. And they don't want to pay it. But if they want to make true reparations and true healing, they have to come up with a way to pay it. And not just say, hey, y'all need to suck it up. You know, we sorry what we did, but we ain't giving y'all none of what we got. And we're not going to pay you for what was done. That was our ancestors. The Most High said it's not so. They have to acknowledge it. If they do what Yah is calling for them to do, to make true restoration, true reparation, then we truly have to forgive them for what they did. We cannot keep holding on to it and using it as a crutch to feel some kind of way about them because they have done what the Most High said to do. But until that time, we don't have to forgive. Because what will happen is we will forgive. We will forgive. And they will never pay restitution. And they say, oh, you ought to forget it. We'll treat you equal from now on. Realizing that they're never going to treat us equal. Unless we are equal. You know, it's hard to fight against somebody who has the money for a lawyer and you don't have the money for a lawyer. If the lawyer is worth any his money, then you go into the court, it's a one-sided battle. And so how are we to compete when we don't have the same resources to compete? So until true restitution is made, then there should not really be any true forgiveness. Now we go on and we live our lives. You know, we're told to forgive. But how can there really be true forgiveness? So we're going to read Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15. But these people clearly aren't keeping the laws of the Most High. Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sin, your heavenly Father will not forgive your sin. So So if they do what they're supposed to do, if the law requires that they make restitution, the laws of the Most High that require that. Then we can truly forgive them. We have to, or else we are in sin. Because they'll require us to forgive, but then won't make restitution. And this is what has happened over and over and over and over again in the past. We will forgive, and then only to be stabbed in the back again. So if it's sincerity, then they're going to obey the laws of the Most High, and they're going to make restitution for what they have done, then we can forgive. There has to come a change